Lepo pozdravljeni, Skabinet poslušate, z vami pa sem Skabina. S precejšno zamudo, ampak za dobro stvar, upam, da boste oprostili in razumeli. Današnji Skabinet na hitro je spremenil svojo podobo. Kajti danes v Gromki nastopa ameriška zasedba Void Union. Seveda jih poznate, ker so pri nas že nastopili v Gala Hali in ker so pač vremenske razmere takšne, kakršne so, je pri njihovem prihodu prišlo do zamude in zato tudi pri Skabinetu. Z mano sta zdajle v studiu dva člana zasedbe Void Union. Hello. Can you introduce yourself?
I am Thaddeus Merritt and I play bass in the Void Union.
I'm Alex Stern. I am the guitarist in the Void Union.
And you are original members.
I am original.
Both?
I'm a long time member.
A long time.
not first time, but long time.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us the story of Void Union. How did it come to end?
It started with myself and Rich when we were both playing in Westbound Train. Mm-hmm. We were having beers pretty much at the very beginning of Westbound Train. And we were talking about how we'd like to have a band that played a lot of instrumental music. And we kind of didn't really act on it for a while because we were very busy playing Westbound Train. And then one day we just had some songs that Westbound Train wanted to focus more on vocals. So we got together and started running these instrumental songs that Rich had wrote at the time. And we found gigs sometimes on tour before a Westbound Train show. We'd go to the bar next door and play these songs with the band. And then eventually we got around to recording our first CD. And a lot of the guys from Westbound Train play on that CD. And then everyone's life started to change. People wanted to do other things with their life, get married and have a family, go study something new in school. And along that time, I moved to a different part of Boston. And my long-term friend, Alex, who also played in Westbound Train for a while, lived close by. And then he jumped on board playing guitar, started off playing keyboards, and then started playing guitar when the other member couldn't make it anymore. And from there, we recorded another album and have toured Europe twice so far. And this is our third time over here. And it's a very fun project for us. It's getting more serious, but it was never very serious to begin with. It was more just to have fun and play music.
Oh, that was my second question. What was the urge to make another band apart from Westbound Train? Because you said you wanted to play instrumental music, but now you have a lot of vocals also.
Yeah. Well, also Westbound Train became less. We only play maybe once or twice a year, and not even that now because Obi, the singer, is expecting a baby. Uh-huh. Just found out not too long ago, so we're not playing very many shows at the moment at all. So, I also like to play vocal tunes also, and so whenever I had a band that was only instrumental, I was like, oh, well, I want to do vocals as well. And Alex has been helping a lot with the vocal aspect. He's kind of taken on the role as a very strong singer for the group now.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we're trying to do is all learn to be better singers, so we work on backing vocals. I think a big part of the band is trying to get outside of your comfort zone and do things that, for lack of a better word, you might not be allowed to do in your other band.
Yeah.
I think that's true. You know, not because any of the other bands are oppressive, but some bands have their own system and there's just no room for you to work outside of it. So I think that's something that the Void Union is particularly good at.
Something else, a concept in the group is to give yourself a chance to get better at something. You know, practice makes perfect, but also you can't just start doing something such as singing and expect to be great at it at first. And this is a great band to try new ideas and not feel like the rest of the band is gonna be upset if you're not perfect the first time you try it. But so it's a supportive group. The union aspect is a group
constant
to
constant growth.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So how come that you have so many guest vocalists? It's because of this? Because you still think that you are not singing well enough?
No. I think it's because we want for our live show, when it's interacting with an audience, it's very easy to play a lot of instrumentals. You can play 7-8 of them in a row, and they'll still sound very different. I just think that unless you have a real big recording budget, it's going to be hard to provide an experience for the listener that is continuously enjoyable without breaking up the monotony. And also, these people are just our friends, and they're great singers. So yeah. Why not put them on a record?
The union aspect, Void Union, is to incorporate people that we admire musically. So, for instance, right now it's Obi and Django, and I admire both of them musically speaking. Yeah. So to have them record a song for us is a great privilege, and so we want to have as much of that happening as possible. And we also sometimes have guests on tour with us. We've had Vin Gordon, you know,
from Scatolites.
Yeah, and Studio One and Sound Dimension. He played 4 shows with us in the Netherlands a couple years ago. And we have Dave Hilliard come out, and Django play some shows, and many other artists that we are excited to play with. We always try to have them if we can financially pay for them. Or
but that mostly happens in States.
Well, Vin Gordon was here in Europe.
Yeah, that I know. Yeah, but others.
No, so far, but maybe in the future.
That seems to be the thing we're talking about right now, is how to do Void Union Plus guests in Europe and make it comfortable. And I think we're on the verge of making that happen. I think we want to do something next year with somebody. We just have to decide who that somebody is, and they have to decide that they want to do it.
Okay. It's a hard job then, if you have to decide, like...
Well, it's just you, because they're guests, they're not employees, you want to make them comfortable.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that they want to come back with us, so we don't want to jump the gun.
You really had a lot of great guests on your records, like you mentioned King Jungle, Angelo Moore, Dave Hilliard. Who else?
On the first record, we had quite a few as well. Linval Golding from The Specials. Chris Rhodes, who plays in the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and plays in a lot of other groups. We had a couple guys, Rick Johnson, who has a theremin. So he's from a band called Mustard Plug. And we had two guys from a band called Streetlight Manifesto on the first album. Jim Conti and Mike Brown played solos for us. They're great solos. And probably a couple I'm forgetting.
A great sing jay from Boston, Craig Akira. His own band is Pressure Cooker. And they're a real local institution in Boston. And they have a lot of people in the band. They can't get out of town, so it's another way to help spread their message internationally, because they're one of those bands that if they could get over here would be gigantic.
Oh yeah, people would love that group if they had an opportunity to play more overseas. I think they've been to Spain before.
Yeah.
So you play in other bands, like we were talking before in car that people were leaving the band and new people came. So now who is in the band with you?
Well, you want to go?
We've got myself and Thad and Rich, who are kind of, we're sort of the longest running senior nucleus, but Anat, our sax player, has been with us for a really long time now. I mean, he's, you know, is much of a member, and he's a kid who started off liking the band and was a jazz player, but now he's sort of a specialist. He like can play Jamaican saxophone, and that's what he does. My friend Rick plays drums for the band. He's a relatively new addition. He's doing a great job. We're happy to have him. And for this tour, as we mentioned to you on the way, our good friend Rich, the trumpet player, is expecting a child. So we subbed him out with two guys because he's so good. We got a trumpet player named Paul from England, who's a really badass dude, and we think he's going to become our manager. And we got an Italian trombone player named Lorenzo, who is who's a nutball. He's really funny. So we have a slightly bigger sounding horn section for this tour, that may be a little less jazzy and a little more big bandy.
Yeah.
So how does it affect to your creative process that people are changing?
Yeah, sometimes it's better. Yeah, well, you get a new outlook on what's going on. And usually, you know, a concept I've had for a long time is if someone doesn't want to be in a group anymore, I don't keep them. I let them go. You know, if they got something else they want to do in life. One of the nice things about this group is it gives it, I try to make it so that if someone is in the group and then they want to leave, and then if they want to come back, it's always the door is open to come play a show in Boston or jump in the van with us for a couple shows. And it's an opportunity to let different musicians mingle with each other. It's kind of trying to create more of a social network between musicians rather than just a core band.
Yeah.
It's more of like the whole, there's a huge ska scene. It's small but very tight knit. So getting people involved from all different angles of the scene. I've met people in almost every ska band that comes to my mind I've met or toured with at some point. Maybe the guys, I guess the Madness. I haven't met anybody from Madness before, but about every other one I can think of that I felt was significant, I've had the pleasure of meeting, and some of them have recorded with us. It's kind of an idea to kind of unify the whole scene and let everyone have an opportunity to show their creative aspect in this band, whether it be recording, whether it be coming to a live show and performing with us, or anything of that nature.
So, how did you get to this, to this wish? It was because you wanted to meet all these people, or that the band is not so rigid, because mostly they are, you know, like...
I'm not sure I understand the question, I'm sorry.
Usually bands are like, you have these members, maybe a little bit of collaborations with somebody else, but... Mm-hmm.
We still have a very intact core, though. I mean, there's still, you know, we have some subs for this tour, but we just played shows in New York last week that was substantively the core Void Union. You know, we had myself, Rich, Rick, and Anat, and Thaddeus.
And we had two other players besides us.
Yeah, but in one of them, Logan, the trombone player, sat, and is somebody who sits in with us all the time. So it's just that the economics of living in the United States right now mean that sometimes people have to take a break from what we do because I don't want to say the U.S. doesn't appreciate art or doesn't appreciate ska, but there's not an understanding that being a musician is a job. It's
that's everywhere, I think.
No, but
even more so though.
Yeah, in the U.S. it's particularly brutal. I mean there's sort of a belief that if you're a musician, then you deserve to not have health care. You know, it's really...
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, that system is going to become oppressive for some of the individuals trying to do what we do, and they'll need to go work a real job or miss some shows or...
Which is why we want to spend more time over here. That's a big part
of it. Europe is nicer.
Much nicer, yes.
They won't even give you food at these U.S. venues.
Yeah,
you know,
we played
it wasn't a big concert, but we did a weekend with Mustard Plug to warm up for this tour, and we played at the Knitting Factory in New York, which is a great club. Knitting Factory is a big name.
Mm-hmm.
No buyouts, no food, just a couple cans of Pabst and
a couple beers
and a sound guy who hated us. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no love. I mean, the people that come to the show enjoy it. They're great. The fans are always awesome, no matter where you go. But the society's view on a musician in the USA is not very... Unless you're Bruce Springsteen, then okay, you can be Bruce Springsteen.
It's a big gap between bands.
There's no in-between.
Yeah.
Either you live in your mom's basement or you play for a million people every night. You know, it's hard for people to wrap their head around.
Even bands that we've played in sometimes when we've gotten to play in front of, you know, 2,000 people, like House of Blues type shows, it's still, you know, they'll hand you a cold pizza and say, go home. It's not, there's no hospitality.
Okay, let's talk about nicer things. Your records, you have two.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the difference between first and second? Except different guests?
Well, it's kind of like you said, the second, I think, has more vocalists,
mm-hmm.
more vocal tunes.
I think six or seven, I was counting.
Okay, yeah. I think there's more vocal tunes on that one, and I think the concept for the first one was a little different because we recorded a lot of the tracks in a garage,
mm-hmm.
and someone's living room, and then we took it on tour when we were with Westbound Train, opening up for other bands. So like, for instance, the English Beat, we were opening for that band. And after the show, Linval Golding was playing guitar. We say, hey, Linval, can you play on our recording? Yeah, sure. So a few days go by, and then we get to the venue real early. We run up there. Hey, remember you said you'd play on that? Oh, yeah, we got it all set up. Come check it out. You know, we have a whole room set up. And he's like, okay, sure. So that concept was kind of more how we put together the first CD and show up at people's house. The second, we weren't touring as much when we did that. Westbound Train wasn't as active. So we did more with our friend, a guy named Matt Ellard, who's a teacher at his school, and he teaches a recording class. And so we'd go into his class and record the songs for his classroom, mm-hmm. and he'd show them how to record the band. And so we got a lot of our recordings that way. And then we would contact people, the guests, and a lot of them are more localized. So like King Django and Obi live not too far away. And a lot of the other guests. The only one that comes to mind that lives far away was Angela Moore. He lives in the West Coast, but we managed to get him to send in the track from a, he recorded it, I think, while he was on tour, like on his bus. And then he mailed me a CD. So other than that, it was there was less, I guess the word would be guerrilla recording going on, where we was more controlled, the second one, I guess.
It's funny, the second one sounds older to me, but the way the first one was recorded was definitely an older method.
Yeah.
Like the second one, like I won't say which song because I don't want to sell anybody out, but there's a song on the new one that sounds like the Skatalites are playing it in a room in Jamaica in 1964. And I know for a fact that it was recorded piecemeal, one instrument at a time, just because of a circumstance. And I, like I said, I won't say which one it is, because there's more than one. But, you know, so it's amazing. Rich, our trumpet player, mixed it and did an amazing job. And that's, you know, that's a big part of why I like that record, because I think his mixing skills really went up a few notches.
So you recorded both of them without big equipment, expensive equipment and everything.
Some of the rhythm section on it were recorded in a great facility. But in general, we don't.
You mean at the school?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
We don't book like a block of studio time at a recording studio and all sit in the lounge and go over ideas. Like we find a room where we're allowed to play drums. We play the drums, and then we then there's a million different ways to do it there. Sometimes, for some of the newer stuff that we've done, I've recorded a couple tracks in my house. And then we used to...
Okay, where did Airplane come in?
I think Angelo was on an airplane.
I think he was
I'm
guessing that he was scared to fly, because he was on tour in Europe, and he was... When he was doing this, so I'm guessing that he was getting on an airplane and probably had the thought go into his head, like, I don't want to get on this airplane. I'm scared, you know? So that is probably him sitting on an airplane, like, you know, I'm guessing writing notes and, like, this is what's going through his head. You know, I think something a lot of people can relate to is scared to be on an airplane.
Yeah, because I was reading on your blog that something was recorded on airplane.
Probably that.
That, okay.
He might have even recorded some of that on the airplane. I think he told me
There are airplane noises that I think are actually him just recording the airplane taking off.
It could be, yeah. He was pretty mysterious about how he did it. He just, one day, I just got a CD in the mail. He's like, there you go, man. Because we know Angelo slightly different than a lot of the other guys. He's, he has a thing called Dr. Mad Vibes. Are you familiar with that? Yeah. And it's just him on Warped Tour. You know the Warped Tour in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
He's just his own character. And he walks around every day dressed totally crazy.
Yeah.
And some days he has a bunch of kids following behind with a banging on drums. Some days he goes and joins a band on stage. And so in the mornings I'd eat breakfast with him because I think he's great. He's awesome. So I got talking to him about it, and that's how I got to know him. And I think we were even in some zombie film together, like hanging out. So it's pretty crazy.
So you give your guests all the freedom to do what they want?
Usually.
were you ever like disappointed by the result? What you got back?
No, you know, strangely enough.
No. Because every, Nobody sent something in where they didn't give their best effort.
Yeah.
There's some things where you go, man, that's not what I was expecting, or maybe that's not what I was hoping that guy, particular guy, would do. But there's never been anything that doesn't rise to the level, you know. If it didn't, we wouldn't put it out.
So far, everything we've gotten has been good. Yeah.
So the title of your latest album is Hired Guns. Hired Guns. Where did you get it? I mean,
because all the guests, they're all hired guns.
Oh, okay.
And we have a couple stoners in the band.
I wish it was more high-minded
than that, but it's just a little pun.
So, who writes the lyrics in the band?
Depends.
Depends on the song.
Yeah, I mean, for the guests usually write their own lyrics with a few exceptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this song's me singing. I wrote those lyrics. But I think every other vocal tune that was sung by a guest, the guest wrote it. The King Django tune with Obi is they wrote those lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
The song that Haley sings on, she wrote her own lyrics.
Steve Borth wrote his own lyrics.
Everybody writes their own lyrics.
Yeah.
I would like to submit a song for a couple more Jamaican sounding vocalists for the next record. So I might try to write lyrics for things in case they don't feel like writing it themselves, like, and they just want to sing. I like to have some ready, but overall, people write their own, and it works out great.
Yeah.
So you released last album in CD and LP.
Mm-hmm.
First one too?
No, only CD on the first one.
So what made you to do LPs?
Somebody said they'd print them for us.
Chuck Wren.
Yeah.
He from Jump Up. Is a connection from Bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Bucket just asked him, and he said he would do it. And so now we have LPs. And
do LPs sell in States?
Yeah, they sell
better here, but yeah. They sell both.
Yeah.
And but they have less songs than CD.
Yeah, I think maybe that's all we could fit on the LP.
That's for sound quality. You can only fit so many songs on a side of vinyl, depending on what speed it's at, before bass response in other frequencies will suffer. And so it's cool. The LP version of Hired Guns has an instrumental side and a vocal side, whereas the CD sort of runs more of like a freeform CD sequence that you're used to of like 13 songs switching off. So for vinyl, you get the bonus of holding the vinyl and having a cool product. For CD, you get the bonus of having more songs. But you should really buy both, because we really need money.
So what are your songs talking about? What do you write about? Do you write lyrics on the already made music, or, you know?
Well, the guests definitely write lyrics over instrumentals that we send them.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's an exception, but no, we don't sit down in a room with a guitar and go, hey, man, let's...
Yeah.
The one song that I sang on an album is about U.S. politics, and that would just came together all at once because we're trying to write very Jamaican-sounding songs, so you also have to write lyrics that will fit within a certain meter to sound like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is your first concert on this tour?
No. We've been.
Yesterday you played in Italy. So.
No, we've been on tour for almost 2 weeks. We started in the Netherlands, went to Germany, Austria. We were in Italy for the past 2 days.
Switzerland.
Yeah.
Did you play with alone or with other bands?
Mostly alone.
We play with the Beatdown in Belgium.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We play with a great band whose name I can't remember. Netherlands, you have a really cool song called Rocky Rockette that we've been singing for the entire tour.
Yeah, but I don't remember. It wasn't like a real touring group. They were just kind of a group, local group that we enjoyed a lot though.
So, after all these collaborations, is there anybody you really, really want to get them on next record?
I've got a couple, and we might as well say it publicly so they know. you want to go first?
Well, I mean, I'm a little superstitious.
You don't want to say names?
No, I've got a couple guys that, you know, I'm superstitious. I feel like if I start saying their names.
How about I say the unattainable one? I think it would be really cool to get Gwen Stefani on a track. I think that would be, and that's obviously pretty unattainable. And Prince, if you're out there.
Why do you think it's impossible?
I mean, we're just pretty lowly, normal guys without access to, you know, Hollywood people. The USA is sort of set up in a way that you stay within your tier, and you don't really have. You can move a tier or two above, and you can certainly move many tiers below.
Yeah, but Gwen was below also, and she moved a lot of tiers up.
Yeah, and that, the other rule in the U.S. is when you get a few tiers up,
you forget.
Well, imagine if she let everyone that wanted to talk to her talk to her. She would never have any time to do anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, it would just be bands like us. And yeah, we're better than most of the bands that would probably try to do that, but it's still... It's not realistic, but you got to plant the seed somewhere.
Well, maybe someday. It's
but
not to say never.
But if you don't try, you will never know.
Yeah, maybe.
You can get it.
There's some people that that I'd like to have. That one of them showed some interest, and then I started writing him emails, and then kind of fell off the. He's very interested, and then no response after about 3 emails. So maybe I just need to wait a little while and then reintroduce the idea.
And then we got an argument with each other about the track that we wrote for him. So we're not going to write tracks for people anymore. We're going to wait until we know we have them.
So the album was released last year?
Yeah, just about.
Do you have any new material for the next one?
Yeah.
And already know when will you release it?
No, we don't know that yet.
We're going to try to do a recording session in March that's live and instrumental. That will cover a lot of the album, and then we're gonna have tunes with guests. But this one's gonna be probably fewer guests and more just the band.
More singing from you?
No. I mean, maybe a song, but more instrumentals, and then like a couple choice guests, I think. But that could change because that's what we said we're gonna do for the last album.
Yeah,
it could. And it ended up being all guests, so
it could totally change. But I think we might end up recording a lot of the next album in New York, which will change the pool of musicians that we are used to drawing from in Boston. So there could be lots of different opportunities by having our base in New York for recording. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, so we have to stop. We will play one more song from which I brought. So, to sta bila torej ta člana Void Union, ki danes nastopata v klubu Gromka. Upam, da vas sneg ne odvrne od tega, da pridete na koncert. Zadnjič se je nekdo pritoževal, da v Gromki ni več skaja, ne? Tako da zdaj le vas postavljamo na laž, v Gromki bo ska danes, ska in regi in rocksteady. Pridite, ne? Kljub snegu v tej romantiki se bo plesalo in se veselilo. S Kabino sem se pogovarjala z njima, s Kabinet bomo kar končali še en komad iz njihovega prvega albuma, bomo spustili, mi pa se zopet slišimo čez 2 tedna. Čau. Tea party man holds the line. Tea party.
time of her life. Tea party girl holds a knife. Angry man, he holds this sign. Tea party man holds the line. Oh, tea party man holds the line.
Thank you. Okay.